Our fourth presentation today will be the 1050, the 101-4, carbon metabolism responses associated with cold acclimation and deacclimation of annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass. The authors are Tao Zhang and Michelle DaCosta of University of Massachusetts. Presenting in place of Tao Zhang is Lindsay Hoffman.
Thank you for that introduction, Dr. Goss. Today I am presenting upon behalf of Tao Zhang, who could unexpectedly not make it today. Tao conducted this research work as part of his master's thesis. So to give you a brief introduction, although cool season turf grass species are adapted to growing in northern climatic regions, they still may be susceptible to winter injury. With associated stresses such as direct low temperature kill, anoxia development under ice cover, or low temperature diseases such as snow mold. So ultimately, this will result in delayed spring regrowth as well as costly reestablishment and increased use of pesticides. So specifically, annual bluegrass, perennial ryegrass, and tall fescue are known to exhibit increased sensitivity to winter injury. And in the Northeast, winter injury of annual bluegrass is a major problem. And so this picture is illustrating a common situation where you see here creeping bentgrass that was resodded in the previous fall survived following the winter, where the most severe winter injury was sustained by annual bluegrass. So overall, when you look at the stresses that influence winter injury, it's been shown previously that direct low temperature kill associated with freezing temperatures is a major causal agent. Therefore, freezing tolerance is a major component of turf grass winter hardiness. And so really, freezing tolerance is dependent upon two processes, the first of which is cold acclimation, which occurs during the fall prior to the onset of winter. And this process, during this process, plants undergo several metabolic changes that allow them to attain their highest degree of freezing tolerance. The second part of this is the ability of plants to maintain that freezing tolerance throughout winter. So typically what you see is deacclimation as plants move through the winter to the spring and resume growth. And this deacclimation results in a loss or decrease of freezing tolerance. What can happen, however, is you can have transient warm spells in the winter or early spring, tricking the plant into thinking that it already is spring and ultimately triggering processes in the plant that could predispose them to freezing injury if temperatures decrease below freezing once again. So, some of the potential processes that occur or the problems that are associated with deacclimation is the metabolism of those components that were accumulated during the cold acclimation process, including sugars or carbohydrates and antifreeze proteins. So if plants begin to metabolize these components too soon, this is going to lead to less of protective compounds in the plant in order to protect them if temperatures decrease below freezing. So this led us to asking the question as whether annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass differ in their capacity to upregulate carbon metabolism. So if there's differences in their capacity to withstand those warming spells, or do they upregulate carbon metabolism mechanisms sooner? So therefore, we developed objectives to compare the freezing tolerance of both annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass during deacclimation and cold acclimation, as well as looking at the carbon metabolism factors during these periods. And so due to time constraints, I'll be primarily focusing on the aspects of deacclimation for both of these species. So when I use the word carbon metabolism, I'm really talking about all the processes involved in the production and consumption of carbohydrates. So this includes the light and carbon reactions of photosynthesis, as well as the assimilation and distribution of carbohydrates, along with respiration. So for this experiment, there were two plant materials, one annual bluegrass ecotype SS1 that was collected from a golf course in Connecticut that we've propagated out and utilized. Also, there was one cultivar of creeping bentgrass that was obtained from the University of Massachusetts Amherst. These plants were planted into containers here and that were filled with sand, and they were allowed to establish in a greenhouse under optimal temperature and light conditions for approximately 3 months until they reached full cover of those containers. Once that occurred, those plants were moved into a controlled environment growth chamber, and they were subjected to a 6-week acclimation period. So the first of which, they were exposed to 20 degrees Celsius, which is a non-cold acclimating temperature, followed by exposure to 2 and minus 2 degrees Celsius. And both of those temperatures have shown to induce freezing tolerance or cold acclimation. Following this 6-week acclimation period, plants were exposed to deacclimation at 8 degrees Celsius for 5 days. And so this temperature duration combination was chosen based on the research conducted in our lab that showed that annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass responded to this temperature duration combination. So although this may be a high temperature for a long duration, it would allow us to detect any differences that were occurring in response to this. So throughout the cold acclimation and deacclimation period, there were several measurements made, the first of which was freezing tolerance was determined. And this was done by subjecting the plants to freeze tests from temperatures ranging at plus 4 degrees Celsius to minus 21 degrees Celsius. Following those tests, plants were allowed to recover in a greenhouse for 4 weeks, and then survival was rated, and then those ratings were used to determine the lethal temperature at which 50% of the plants were killed. In addition to account for some of the carbon metabolism changes that might happen, canopy photosynthesis and respiration were measured using a gas exchange analyzer. Also, photochemical yield components were measured using a chlorophyll fluorometer. And lastly, carbohydrate content of leaves and crowns were determined using a spectrophotometer. So the plants were arranged in a completely randomized block design with 4 replicates per species per treatment combination. All data were subjected to analysis of variance, and the means were separated using Fisher's protected least significant difference test. So now moving into the results, just taking a minute here to set up this graph, you're seeing that at the top on the x-axis, you have your acclimating temperatures of 20 degrees Celsius, 2 and minus 2, followed by the deacclimation temperature or treatment combination of 8 degrees Celsius for 5 day. On the y-axis, you have the LT50 values in degrees Celsius. So this is comparing freezing tolerance between annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass at each temperature. So you'll notice that annual bluegrass did exhibit better freezing tolerance at 20 degrees Celsius. However, as we progressed through that acclimation regime of 2 and minus 2 degrees Celsius, creeping bentgrass was able to achieve a higher level of freezing tolerance. In addition, we saw that exposure to this 8 degrees Celsius 5-day treatment resulted in a decrease in freezing tolerance. However, we saw that creeping bentgrass maintained a higher level of freezing tolerance compared to annual bluegrass. So again, one of the parameters we looked at was photochemical yield, and this is an estimation of efficiency of photosystem 2 under light conditions. And so you'll notice here that we've also measured these parameters at 1 day and 3 day in order to capture some of those earlier changes that are happening upon exposure to the warming trend. So under minus 2 degrees Celsius, these levels were at 0 because, again, that treatment was in the dark. However, exposure just to 8 degrees Celsius for 1 day, you'll notice, results in an upregulation of these photosynthetic parameters. And you'll see that, specifically, annual bluegrass had a higher overall photochemical yield compared to creeping bentgrass. And this is seen throughout the deacclimation treatment. At 3 days, you see, again, annual bluegrass has higher levels, and at 5 days as well. So for comparison to photochemical yield, we also looked at non-photochemical quenching, or NPQ. And so this is a protective mechanism that removes excess energy as heat instead of putting the energy towards photochemistry. So these two measurements or processes are competing. And so you'll notice what we see is that at the 3 days of exposure to 8 degrees Celsius, creeping bentgrass has higher NPQ compared to annual bluegrass. And this trend was similar for what was seen following 5 days exposure to 8 degrees Celsius. So overall, this suggests that creeping bentgrass is able to suppress those photosynthetic processes that are happening, which may be a protective way of preventing any damage associated with excess energy absorption. So along with those two parameters, we also took a look at photosynthesis, and again, at minus 2 degrees Celsius, these levels are zero because this treatment was conducted in the dark. However, you'll notice that exposure to 8 degrees Celsius for one day caused no change in creamy bentgrass, so we did not see any upregulation of photosynthesis. However, we did see a significant increase in annual bluegrass photosynthesis. At 3 days exposure, creeping bentgrass did show an increase in photosynthesis. However, annual bluegrass, again, had significantly higher levels of photosynthetic activity. And this was the same which was detected at 5 days exposure to 8 degrees Celsius. Similarly, we saw increases in respiration attributed to the deacclimation treatment. We did detect a spike in respiration following that one-day exposure to 8 degrees Celsius, but again, note that annual bluegrass had overall higher levels. As we progressed throughout the deacclimation treatment, we saw that these respiration levels decreased. However, at each temperature measured, 3 days or 5 days, annual bluegrass maintained those higher levels of respiration. So all in all, although annual bluegrass does have that higher photosynthetic levels and respiration levels, this may provide it may be beneficial in the spring and provide it with a competitive advantage towards regrowth, so allowing it to photosynthesize at a quicker rate compared to creeping bentgrass. However, when we look at this during, say, a deacclimation period where temperatures may fall back to freezing levels, this could be harmful and ultimately result in further freezing injury to the plant. So again, we measured leaf and crown content during acclimation and deacclimation. Here I'm only presenting on crown carbohydrate due to time constraints. Looking at this graph, you'll see that on the left-hand side, you have fructan content, and fructans is the major storage carbohydrate for cool season grasses. On the right, you have sucrose. So you'll notice that following that minus 2 degrees Celsius sub-zero acclimation, fructan levels were the highest for both species, and we did not detect any differences between those levels. However, following exposure to 8 degrees Celsius for 5 days, you'll notice a significant decrease in fructan levels. This is followed by an increase in sucrose. And specifically, we see that annual bluegrass has higher levels of sucrose. So overall, it's really not clear as to why we're seeing those differences in carbohydrate levels. It may be attributed to fructan hydrolysis or the capacity of annual bluegrass to photosynthesize at an earlier rate. So really, further research is needed to understand what happens to those carbohydrates if re-exposed to cold temperatures, so how they are affected during reacclimation if that occurs. So, in summary, we saw that annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass differed in their capacity to cold acclimate. This was indicated by following that minus 2 degrees Celsius acclimation period. We also saw that exposure to that 8 degrees Celsius resulted in deacclimation of both species. However, we saw that annual bluegrass is able to upregulate carbon metabolism processes in a greater extent compared to creeping bentgrass. And so, overall, we saw that these changes were even as soon as one-day exposure to deacclimation. So, in conclusion, the upregulation of carbon metabolism processes occurred sooner in annual bluegrass compared to creeping bentgrass, and this may aid in more rapid recovery, so it may give the plant a competitive advantage. However, if this occurs during a midwinter warming spell, it may be negatively impact the plant and make it more susceptible to freezing injury. So future research utilizing this information would be looking at how different light conditions affect these processes. So for instance, under snow or winter covers, and also how reacclimation capacity accounts for differences among annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass. So with that, Tao would like to thank me for giving its presentation, as well as those who were influential in this research and those who provided funding. And if there's any further time, I'd be willing to take any questions.
Do you have the photochemical quenching data for the pre-acclimation? Like, are the two species different before they acclimate?
The question is, are the species different prior to acclimation for the photochemical yield?
At 8 degrees.
I apologize. I do not know the answer to that question.
Okay.
So they're not different?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you.